Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's insanity.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
New England Patriots. There's no question every single offensive player knows right now who's calling the plays. And apparently it's Matt Patricia, and his number two pencil will be calling the plays this year.
Earlier on the show, from NBC Sports, Mike Tirico, Tampa Bay Times Bucks writer Rick Stroud, Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman. Coming up, host and comedian Andy Richter. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. The man side by side with Conan O'Brien for all those years, Andy Richter, is here in studio. And I've never met the man, I don't believe. I'm excited. I always enjoyed his sense of humor and watching him on TV. And now he's got a new podcast coming out, Three Questions with Andy Richter Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, we will have more than just three questions for Andy. We can't just be boxed in like that. And we won't be. We refuse to be boxed in with the number of questions.
We can't be, and we won't.
We're not on a question count. You know what I mean? Like, we're not coming off of surgery, thank God.
Right.
You know, we're not being put on a question count. And so Andy's going to come out here and join us in about 20 minutes' time. It'll be a great chat. Good times. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo in their spots.
Hey,
TJ Jefferson in his spot. You are there. We did talk about Chris Myers, actually, a little bit. Now we're number one with his longtime SportsCenter partner, Mike Tirico. Marcus Freeman of Notre Dame football, as well as Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, talking about everything going on with the Buccaneers and Julio Jones joining there. If you missed any of it, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Okay. I've told you this for weeks and months, and now it's finally here. And now we're hearing from people to confirm what we all knew and assumed anyway. Urban Meyer in Jacksonville last year was an unmitigated disaster. Complete unmitigated disaster. Worst faceplant maybe in the history of National Football League head coaching, and there have been many faceplants. I mean, the only thing missing from Urban Meyer's faceplant was wearing a neck roll like Petrino did once upon a time. You know?
Scratches on his face.
You know? It's the only thing missing. But we're hearing now how bad it was, and not like directly, not like calling him out by name, not doing that, but by talking up the coach, Doug Peterson. And this is not like Tyreek Hill talking up Tua, and you could say he's criticizing Patrick Mahomes by doing so. As we've said here, that's not what he's doing. He's not being critical of Patrick Mahomes. He's talking up his guy. But just hearing, they're not talking up Doug Peterson. They're just talking about the differences. What's the difference between the two? And it's obvious what's the difference between the two. I mean, Doug Peterson's not going to leave the team and stay behind on the bye week. Doug Peterson's not going to kick his kicker. Doug Peterson's not going to bench his running back and then deny benching his running back and then put his running back in the game before that denial because the rookie quarterback has come and said, what gives? That's just three things. No. It's as simple as just treating the guys straight up. Josh Allen, Jacksonville's Josh Allen, first round draft choice of his own right, had this to say yesterday when asked the difference between Doug Peterson and all the things that Doug Peterson has changed there.
Man, it feels good to be... to be a part of professional locker room, not only in the locker room, but when you talk to the coaches, it's a professional setting. You know what I'm saying? You got to hone on to the details. You know what I'm saying? If you're not listening to details, you know, it's not getting on you. It's telling them what's right and what's wrong. And, you know, as guys, as grown men, we need to understand that. And he puts it in a way we can understand it and grow. He's not getting on us. He's letting us know what's real. And he's talking to us like grown men.
It's good to be part of a professional locker room. And He wasn't just in college last year, and this is his rookie season. He's learning about professional football. And he got drafted in 2019. Chris, I don't know what the town where Mo Green does not have a plaque or a signpost or anything to recall who founded Las Vegas, Nevada. I don't know what that town is saying about the Jacksonville Jaguars. But this has to be. I don't know what their win total is. This has to be.
6.5.
There you go. 6.5.
6.5.
How many did they win last year?
3.
Okay. Three. Double the amount of wins. Why? You know, great draft? Great draft? Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, we're just assuming he's going to improve year one or year two. I don't know. We've seen guys go from year one to year two, and they don't have that big of a lead.
Travis Etienne's back.
This will be the greatest addition by subtraction in the history of the National Football League. Book it. This will be the greatest. Just, again, merely Doug Peterson being who he is and then being who he isn't together will be a monster-sized improvement. Trevor Lawrence, he said something earlier this week. Trevor Lawrence being asked about his head coach being Doug Peterson now and what he's dealing with.
It's cool seeing the way he approaches things. You know, he's definitely a player's coach in the sense of, you know, he takes care of us, but there's a certain expectation, and he knows what it takes to win and to win a championship. So there's that expectation which you need from your head coach and the standard that you have to uphold, but he also knows how to take care of players. He knows what players are feeling like in the spring. You know, some guys are tight. He might take a period off practice or, you know, Dave, we need to get some extra work. He'll throw in an extra period or whatever it is. So just having a coach that's been there and done that, coached a lot of teams, had a lot of success. He kind of just knows how to read the team, and I think that's really important.
Do you think we're going to get a player to go up there and to be like, look, it's better because Urban's not here?
I mean, it's basically what they're all saying.
I know,
saying.
But I want them to say his
name. You
want
to say his name?
I want him to say his
say
name.
His say his name.
I want
say
him to be name. Like, look, Doug is not Urban Meyer, so we're going to be just fine.
How about when they explain to you what's wrong, not yell at you? How bad must it have been there last year? How absolutely bad must it have been there last year? We have no idea.
We really need like a 30 for 30. Yes. Just a deep dive.
I mean,
yes. What if I told you?
Like I told you, yes. Not to just go down the same lane here, but I'll just do it one more time before moving on. The minute he did not get on the plane.
Yeah.
After the week 4 loss in Cincinnati.
Hey, you were all over that.
It was over.
Yeah, that was your biggest thing in our group chat. We were thinking about the picture. And Rich was like, wait a second.
I was like,
yeah,
what's the girl?
And Chris, I remember getting you up like, why is Rich so worried about this plane? And then it turned out.
You were all about that.
Over. Why? Over. Because all the other stuff that happened at this point last year in training camp, and it happened previously in OTAs, and the bringing in Tim Tebow, which I gave Urban Meyer the benefit of the doubt at that point, saying, he's showing the locker room what happens if you buy into his
if you show me program. Loyalty.
You show me what you show me. I'm asking for you. This is how I'll take care of you 10 years from now, 15 years from now. And as it turned out, it was a total another disaster, another log on the disaster fire.
Unlike Trey Lance, I do recall you saying that.
So all of what happened prior to that just became crystallized. And then there was another 2 months after that. They had it again. They had to fire him in the middle of the season. So Doug Peterson being Doug Peterson and then being somebody who he's not together. Vegas is already saying double the amount of wins alone. Then we'll see what happens when toe meets ball. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Just had to take note of that. Day 2 of independent study.
Oh.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show. You guys all hit your tablets last night, I hope.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good. I ain't got no tablet.
I mean, TJ.
I don't know. That's on HR.
Chris, HR can't be responsible for
independent
everything.
Study
no, that's supplies.
That's, yeah,
supplies.
That's not HR.
Is that why my monitoring has come up with 0 hours logged of independent study from TJ's. You?
You know what they say when your key card doesn't work.
Which is funny because your key card doesn't work.
Sorry, TJ.
I don't have my key card. Liz so, does.
No surprise that the Arizona Cardinals, Zach Ertz, saying, hey, Kyler knows everything about this offense, and he also knows about the opposing defense, which, by the way, is the crux of film study. Obviously, you got to know your own playbook, and you'll definitely look at your own, you know, all 22 when you're on offense, but you got to look at the other team. That's where the study comes in. That's where you know this linebacker does this, that corner does that, that safety does this, this defensive tackle does that, that end does this. You know tendencies and you know what's happening, so you could change a play, you can mess with them, you can figure something out to take advantage of what they are showing on film. And clearly something happened. Zach Ertz said, you know, there's no problem with Kyler. And Cliff Kingsbury spoke yesterday and said, you know, he hasn't noticed any problem with Kyler either, but somebody felt compelled to hire a lawyer, come up with this independent study language, insert it into the contract that Kyler Murray signed. That said, this is what Kingsbury was asked, because, you know, clearly he's not going to go, yeah, we found a problem with Kyler. He's got study habit issues, playing too much Minecraft. Is that the game?
Roblox.
I don't know. Roblox. Definitely not Roblox. No, that's my household, sir.
Oh, my
bad. That's my household. That's where I'm tying allowance time to allowances to screen time and gotcha. Homework time and things like that. So that's the this situation. I'm talking about Arizona's house.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
So some Roblox. Reporter after, you know, batting around these questions then went to say, do you... Cliff Kingsbury, do you monitor everybody's study time when they're off Arizona time, to use the fast times at Richmond High parlance, on their own time?
Mr. Hond.
Our time.
Is he the Mr. Hond,
yeah,
basically, of other people's time and how they're spending it? This is his response.
I don't. No, I do not. I don't. I do. Yeah, they don't track mine, you know. Like, I'm sure McVay's got me beat by a couple hundred hours every week. So, these guys are professionals. They know how to get themselves ready for a game. They know what to watch, what they need to watch personally, and so I've never tracked it.
If Santiago, Chris.
Yep.
Uh-oh, back.
Oh, you're right. No, this is exactly what I was just going to say.
Somebody who has been bullied, has been told he can leave. Why wasn't he packed?
Hadn't called anyone.
And if you... You didn't call anybody. If you... Okay. Ordered Santiago to not be touched. Why was he touched?
Why did he need to be transferred off the base?
Yeah. Why did he need to be transferred off the base? Who ordered the independent study code red is basically what I'm asking. That's what they talk about, right? Code red there in Arizona. Who ordered it?
If these guys are professionals and you trust the way that they prepare for games,
why
did it need to be in the contract?
Is there an independent study clause for your quarterback?
What are we doing?
What's going on here? The hell going on?
Why do we need independent study on that wall?
I think you should do the Wendy thing for this one, Rich. Why?
Why? It's a very simple question. Now then, we're going to see football games get played. This will all be completely swept under the rug if Kyler Murray shows up and plays MVP quality football, as we have seen him do. He was the quarterback of the team that finished, that had the longest lasting undefeated record last year. When Murray got hurt and came back from getting hurt, and he scored 19 touchdowns, half of them in the air, half of them on the ground against the Chicago Bears. We were talking about him as an MVP candidate.
Hail Murray.
And then, Hail Murray's two years ago.
Yeah.
And then
he
just went right down the tubes. Without the Hail Murray, I don't think they would have won a game the rest of the year that year, 2 years ago. They were in that position towards the end of the season. And that's the question. The annual second half of the season post-Thanksgiving swoon, is it because windows get tighter and somebody's, you know, hitting the B button instead? That's the question that has been put out there by the man's own contract. So we've heard the answers, and you're going to hear more and more and more. And I'm sure Kyler, when he speaks, will say, this is much ado about nothing. Of course, I signed it. What do I care? I do it anyway. So they want to put it in the contract? Fine. I'm doing it anyway. Of course I'm doing it. What are you talking about? Of course I'm an NFL quarterback of note. I mean, you'll hear that. You'll hear other players come to his aid because they're teammates and they love him. And for good reason, because he's Kyler Murray. And that's the reason why Arizona signed him despite these misgivings. But toe's gonna meet ball. And anytime Kyler makes a bad throw, because it happens to everybody. He makes a bad throw, be like, you didn't see the guy coming. Maybe, just maybe. Only 3 hours of independent study this week. Why was the clause in there if it didn't need to be in there?
If you trusted right? how he prepared for games, everyone's a professional. Why can you take money away from him if he doesn't study enough each week?
Coming to an Arizona theater near you, A Few Good Tablets, starring Kyler Murray. Let's take a break.
Crazy.
Andy Richter is here in studio. Can't wait to chat with him. That is next right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Terrestrial radio audience is back. Andy Richter, Three Questions with Andy Richter podcast, where all podcasts are acquired right here on the show. So the three questions, I know what they are, but I'll give you the floor on what the questions are for this podcast.
They are, where do you come from, where are you going, and what have you learned?
Okay.
And they're just kind of, I feel like I had been approached, you know, Team Richter.
Yes, sir.
Top-notch professionals that they are.
Yes.
Had bugged me for a while. They said, you should do a podcast. But I always felt, because I have friends that are true, you know, originators of the podcast business. And I still feel like an old man about it a lot, where I'm like, really? The people are... I don't listen to a lot of podcasts.
Okay.
I listen to Howard Stern. He's been my podcast for 1,000 years.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Sure.
But I still, it's the same thing. Like, I can't, like, somebody that's, like, really super successful on YouTube, that doesn't translate to me because I'm old. I'm like, really? And it's like, yeah, this guy's, you know, outpaced you by earnings by 4 times. And I'm like, YouTube guy. Like, yeah, YouTube guy, old man, wake up.
Exactly.
So when they were telling me I should do a podcast, I resisted, and I was like, I felt like a Johnny come lately, you know, and I just was like, dilettante. And then I finally thought, oh, what the heck? I'll go ahead and do it.
Yes.
And so I thought, what I really want to do is have the kind of conversations that I would get to have with people in commercial breaks on The Conan Show, which is like the stuff I want to know about, which is like, how many kids were in your family? Yeah, you know, what's your work day like? That kind of thing. And then also I like, you know, I've been in therapy for 1,000,000 years, and I like when people can take the facts of their life and extrapolate, well, this is why I'm like this,
right?
Because of these things that happened. I think that's just always an interesting conversation. So I thought those three questions kind of encompass that kind of notion of kind of thinking about where you come from and how it makes you who you are. And so I decided, yep, I'm going to do the podcast. And then like a week later, this will tell you about the communication over at the Conan organization.
Yes, sir.
About a week later, I hear, Conan's doing a podcast. I was like,
every time.
Why didn't I say yes a month ago? I could have beat him to the punch. But you know, it's all fine now. Everybody has a podcast.
Well, no, that is not true. And certainly the guests you're getting are stupendous. I mean, your recent guests have included Judd Apatow, Will Arnett, Kristen Bell, Bill Hader, who's awesome, and Henry Winkler, who was in that chair about a month ago. What a delightful human being.
He's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
He was my first in-person after COVID, my first, you know, in-person. Because, you know, pre-COVID, it was all in studio, face-to-face.
Sure.
And then it went to computer. And he was my first one back actually face to face.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
I just talked to Jake Tapper yesterday. We recorded one yesterday.
Okay, very good. I've heard of him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get really Rachel Bilson's on the show this week.
Okay.
I get really good guests, but it's all, you know, I just talk to people that I want to talk to, which is nice. I don't It, you know, it's not like.
Is that why I haven't been on? Is that what it is? Is that...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I mean, to be frank, yeah, sure.
Straightforward.
I mean, I'll drive to El Segundo for you, but I'm not having you on my show. I mean, come on.
I love that. Andy Richter here on the Rich Eisen Show. Three questions with Andy Richter podcast. And it's funny how you mentioned how you're asking questions or you want to know. These are things that you'd want to know based on conversations you'd have in commercial breaks with guests over the years sitting there on Conan. With Conan, so was there ever a guest who overshared and like the commercial breaks coming back and you kind of like had to, you know, you kind of had to be like, you know, I'm glad I asked, but I mean, we're coming right back, 3-2-1. Like,
yeah,
is there a moment like that sort of thing, Andy? Something like that,
Fabio.
I love that. By the way,
if I know. We're already starting good.
If this was a Mad Lib, I would have put that proper name in that blank space.
Fabio right told us a story on air about a stalker confronting him at a breakfast place where he was having breakfast with a friend. And in the commercial break, which I think he just, I can't remember what the details, but it just sounded like, it was kind of neutral, but it seemed crazy. Like, yes. You know, the police had to be called and all this stuff. And then in the commercial break, we were talking to him and we were like, that was nuts. He said, yes, but I didn't even tell you the, he said, I didn't tell on the air the best part, that she had a Ziploc bag full of her pubic hair and she dumped it on the table. And I don't know if it was, I can't remember if it was on his food or not. He goes, but she must have shaved everything. It was a lot of pubic hair. And then he said, and then when I get out to the
That's so funny.
I know. And he said, and when I get out to my car is covered with mashed potatoes and peas. And we're like, what? He's like, yes, covered with mashed potatoes and peas. What's mixed signals he's sending to somebody, you know?
Mixed signals.
Yeah.
It's a great way to
put it. Yeah.
Mashed potatoes and peas.
Yeah.
Fabio's mixed signals
or Fabio's mashed potato and peas could be a great fantasy team name, Chris. You might have to write that down.
Could be.
Oh, my God.
I like that Chris is advertising another show on this show.
Wow.
But he has a cup
that's
right
my
there.
My own show.
That's his own show.
I know. He's doing his own show over there, yeah. Probably. I hear mumbling. He's going to do a choir.
Gosh. Oh, my God. It's one of those moments, like, I guess, why didn't he say that during the air?
I don't know. It's probably some legal reason I probably just blew it for him. You know? So, sorry, Fabio. You know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite guest to meet, sit on the couch with?
Andy? That I'm thrilled to meet, it's not ever exciting because I don't say a word to them. I go, like, hi. Because I always just feel like Michael Caine. Like, what am I going to say to Michael Caine? You know? But just to sit this far from Michael Caine and look at Michael Caine is freaking Michael Caine right there.
Right, yeah.
So it would be people like him. Like, although there were people, like David Bowie was local, so he used to do, like he did, he's just fantastic.
Right.
I mean, in addition to being a musical genius who gave us like some of the best popular music of the last 150 years. Right. He also was like really funny, really fun, and just super nice. Like, and it got to the point where just got to be chatting with David Bowie. And then there's also just the people that you can't believe early on in the early days.
Yes.
Cause we couldn't, like, we weren't getting the big names. So we were getting people like Shelley Winters, which I'll take a Shelley Winters over an A-lister any day.
Like a good Poseidon Adventure story, you'll take that any day.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, like, do you want sort of the same story that you've heard on three other shows, or do you want a literal, like, ticking time bomb of madness? Like, give me the crazy. That's the fun part. But we had, so we would get, like, we had Tony Curtis.
Oh my
show,
gosh, that's so you know? Cool.
And Tony Curtis shared something he had in common with James Brown. James Brown, yet another person on the show that I was like, hi. but both Tony Curtis and James Brown, were, you know, our studios were on the sixth floor in Studio 6A. Across the way is Live at 5, the local news.
I remember that, sure.
Yeah.
Sue Simmons?
And, yeah, Sue Simmons and Chuck.
Chuck. Scarborough.
Chuck Scarborough.
Oh, I grew up in New York City, man.
And I mean, they're like my neighbors. Like, hey, Chuck, what's going on? You know, how's the weekend, Chuck? But all our dressing rooms are along this busy hallway that is a, you know, that like people are running with tapes for news and, you know, and I mean, national news and, you know, different, you know, prop things are being carted down the hall. Both Tony Curtis and James Brown took a chair and put it in the hallway and sat out in the hallway. Just watching the I don't know, like whether they're just like, because the dressing rooms weren't very big.
So like pagers are walking down the hallway and people
just like
are walking.
There's Tony freaking Curtis and or James Brown. Yeah, both of them. It was just weird that they both, whether there was some like some, you know, claustrophobia or they just liked being recognized. There are famous people that really like being recognized, you know, so, you know, whatever, that's whatever, you know.
Instead of a folding chair inside 30 Rock.
I don't hold that against Tony Curtis. They can do whatever they want with their Tony Curtis-ness.
Andy Richter here on the Rich Eisen Show. How did you meet Conan? How did you ever cross paths with him?
Well, we knew a bunch of people in common already. And if we had never, if we'd never got connected for this show, we would have ended up knowing each other.
Okay.
Because I haven't figured out, and it took a couple years of working with him before we both figured out that we had been at a yard party at Bob Odenkirk's house like 2 or 3 weeks before we met and just didn't happen to, you know, speak or, or talk to each other, get introduced to each other. So I knew Robert Smigel, who is Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. Yes. He was the original, you know, like head writer, producer of the Conan show. I knew him through a friend that had worked on SNL. And he and I just hung out socially in L.A. when he was out here one summer working on the ill-fated Hans and Franz movie.
Oh, my God.
He came out here to make a Hans and Franz movie.
And you were on that movie?
No,
as well?
No. I just met him. I just met him through this friend, and we used to, you know, drink and drive, basically. the Hans and Franz movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger, after Last Action Hero, he said to them, he's like, I can't make fun of myself anymore. So they just got...
That was the end of
that? Yeah, because I guess he was going to be like their fairy godmother or something. And
now,
be
that would have been good.
I know, it would be very heavily... It would have been fantastic.
So that's how you met Smigel?
And that's how I met Smigel, was just, you know, through friends and hanging out and you know, summertime in L.A. And then Conan got the job, and I heard about it just like everybody else did. It's this Simpsons writer got this job, and I saw the clips of his like test interview, you know, that he had done. And then I got a call from Robert saying, hey, I'm going to be working on this show. Would you meet this Conan guy? And I said, sure. And because, you know, it was a free lunch. And we went to Junior's Deli on Westwood Boulevard, which isn't there anymore. And we just hit it off immediately. We just both were like, immediately stupid with each other and knew, and I, you know, and he also too, I could just get a sense that I could be as dumb and gross and stupid and silly as I wanted to be. And I knew it was like a job interview, but it did, you know, like when they brought me my Knish, I just said, it looks like a and he howled, and I thought, like, you know, I knew that was a risk to take at a job interview, but I was like, this is...
Yeah, I did that for the NFL, and it's amazing they still hired me.
It's a different kind of job, you know?
Right.
So, and then we just hit it off, and Robert told me that he said to Robert, hire this guy, just hire him. And Robert, so let's let him write a packet first. So I wrote up a packet. I was at my then fiance's house up in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And I typed, all she had was beige paper. So I had to type up my packet on like
beige paper.
Yeah, like on sort of ecru. Because there was no, but I'm not going to go buy white paper. It's like, yeah, it'll still work. So
yeah, of course.
Sent it to him, FedEx it to him. And I, you know, and they liked the ideas. And then I was the first writer hired. I came there and Rockefeller Center was on the ninth floor.
How
with
amazing
about
is that?
Five other people at that point.
I
you bet. Know?
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, go into 30 Rock and go to work every day. Come
it was,
on, man.
I've heard people say, like Stern will say, that he feels like that building is kind of anti-comedy. And that he had such an unpleasant experience working at NBC.
Right.
But it's NBC Radio. Whereas for us, it was a clubhouse in a national monument, you know. And it didn't stop us from, like, dropping things onto the street.
Right.
You know, and like literally one day, a 5 gallon bucket of Super Balls onto 6th Avenue is a lot of fun.
I bet.
From 9 stories up. Wow.
No kidding.
Wow.
How did
we waited until nighttime. But we would throw them out during the day. Mm-hmm. And it just because they would bounce for so long.
I was about to say, well, did one get back up to the ninth floor?
No. They just would like bounce, you know, and you'd just be people walking in the. Like what just whizzed by me, you know, as a Super Bowl. So I loved working in that building, and I felt it was like an honor to work in that building for just what that building has meant to television and stuff. It's the same. I did the Alec Baldwin match game, and in that studio, it's a studio in New York City. There's pictures on the walls of, like, you know, Truth or Consequences. And, you know, like Kitty Carlisle and Joan Rivers doing these game shows. And it makes me feel like I'm like a TV professional. Like, I'm on freaking game shows, the same as Kitty Carlisle. You know?
And by the way, I'm such a game show freak.
I totally love them. I get to host them now and then. So,
you're
know.
Lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of me feels Andy Richter. I was put on this planet to give away cash and prizes. I mean, what a.
Well, I'm waiting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
what
I
do you
mean,
got?
I don't know if we have any parting gifts for you, Andy, but I mean, wow. Okay, that's pretty cool. Three questions with Andy Richter. I feel like I already asked where you come from. Where you're going. I feel
I'm from Illinois.
Okay, very
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
so are you a Cubs fan?
Cubs fan.
Okay.
Yeah, Cubs fan. Although the Rickets make it harder and harder.
and you don't mean some sort of a virus.
I don't mean a vitamin D Ricketts deficiency. I mean I mean
the scurvy's make it harder.
The owners, they just, cuz you know, having them win the World Series was such a thrill. And I also too, I'm a late onset baseball fan, and baseball is the only thing I really care about. Like, all the other sports kind of happen around me, and I kind of, you know, hear things by osmosis. But baseball is the only thing that I really became interested in. And like I say, it was within the last 10, 15. It started with I would watch the playoffs because the baseball season's so long, and, you know, it's hard to get really up for a game in June.
Yes.
You know what I
game
mean?
Like 59.
Yeah, like what's the stakes,
sure.
You know?
Right.
But the playoffs, it's so manageable because there's only a set amount of teams. There's only a set amount of rosters that you really have to be aware of, like who is who. And there's just something that's just so simple, and the tension. It's all about the tension
every
and
pitch.
The release.
Every pitch is amazing, Andy. Like, say, game 59 in June. Runner gets on first base with an out, and you're like, okay, we can get out of this inning. That happens in October, like season's over.
Right.
Guys on first.
Absolutely.
It's a nothing-nothing game in the second inning. One guy on, they walk the leadoff, season's over.
Yeah.
We're
going
to lose this game. We're going to lose the play. Like, it's really a mental
exercise. In like a storytelling sense, too, as someone who, like, you know, I mean, aside from Conan work, like, I work in television, I tell stories. That's kind of like, that's what I aim to do. But you've got, with every pitch, 20 different things that can happen. And and you wait, and there's like the slow, like, you know, rub the nose and then look and, no to the sign. And, you know, it's just this build up and then the throw. And it could be a home run. It could be a foul. It could be the end of the game. And it's like, in narrative terms, it's just, there's so much that can happen in that simple moment if you're, you know, actually focused on it and paying attention to it and aware of the context.
Did you have that cathartic moment when the Cubs won, like so many?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Although, like, my brother, who's one of those people, like, the last time I went to a Cubs game with my younger brother, he knew a ump by name to yell at him. Like, he knew, like that a-hole, you know, like, yes. And I'm like, that's a little bit much to know the ump's names and to have a grudge against a particular ump.
It's called study time.
I know,
it's called
preparation, but for me, it's like, that's pretty deep. But my brother, when the Cubs won, told me, he said, like, I feel like I can finally walk away from a bad marriage. he's like, this has been a bad marriage, and now that this has happened, I've been released from caring. And then, you know, and then like when they do sell all those guys, you know, Javi Baez and Rizzo and Chris Bryant, and I understand, you know, it's business and they have to do that, and that's how it works. But, you know, but then it's like now they're going to, you know, Contreras and Ian Happ are going, supposedly.
Looks like Robertson could, too.
It's a bummer, and it's really hard. I mean, again, I get it. It's a business, but it's really hard. It's made me more of a Dodgers fan, I'll tell you that.
Well,
much.
Then.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fighting words, I think, for some people.
Whatever. I used to go to, you know, I always try and go to at least one Cubs at Dodgers.
Yes.
And this year, and I had tickets this year and got COVID, very mild COVID, but, okay, you know, but I couldn't go. But I would always, like, there were years, because, you know, I watched the Dodgers too, there were years where I'd be kind of torn and be sort of like, that's all right. I would be torn, and then when the Cubs would inevitably lose, I would be bummed, and that was what told me I'm still mostly a Cubs fan.
There you go.
But it's kind of now, you know, I mean, I did sort of feel like that series, I felt like, would it be so bad for the Dodgers just to let them win one? Let them go back to Wrigley.
Wow. Just, you're suffering.
I know. But I mean, you know, it's like a bully picking on a nerd at this point, and the Dodgers are playing them.
Andy Richter, thank you for coming on here.
Sure.
Three Questions with Andy Richter podcast every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Come back anytime, sir.
Thank you so much,
Good
Rich.
To see you. That's Andy Richter here on the Rich Eisen Show, the latest gem from a Bill Belichick press conference because somebody asked him the wrong question when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the program, Lonnie in Los Angeles, been hanging on for damn near the whole show. What's up, Lonnie? How you been, brother?
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Thanks for hanging in there. What's going on?
I want to voice my support for Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
Baker Mayfield has moxie. If you look at this time last year, all the negative things they were saying about Matthew Stafford, Odell Beckham. Look, man. The Lord is his redeemer, not some moron on ESPN. You can't predict what a person's going to do. Look what happened at the end of the season. Odell Beckham was on his way to being the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
After all the ridicule and doubt he was.
That's true.
Matthew Stafford finally got on a good football team and started winning some games. But you treat that Tuck Rule overrated quarterback like he's God. But everybody else gets criticized and ridiculed. And I just don't think that's fair, man.
Right, Lonnie, that's just, you know, I guess part of the territory. And Mayfield is, I'm assuming, going to have this opportunity. And thanks for hanging in for as long as you did. Mayfield is going to have this opportunity. And I believe he's got the leg up. They played a full season with Darnold last year. The head coach, as much as he wants to, you know, not say it, and I don't blame him for avoiding the subject or not talking about it or saying, you know, this is what it is. Matt Rhule is 1,000% on a seat that gets hotter every single day because the owner is somebody who's very demanding in his first couple of years, as it has been known about David Tepper, and he wants to win now. And I don't think he cares that Brady's in the division. I don't think he cares that New Orleans is New Orleans. I don't think he cares. I think it's time. And he looked, he had a full year of Sam Darnold. And, you know, Ben McAdoo's now there.
Calling plays, right?
Dude, they, as an organization, looked at their roster, saw their practices, knew what they saw last year, and with all of that, went and grabbed Baker Mayfield. Now, I know it's for hardly anything in terms of a fifth that could be turned into a fourth, right? In not even next year's draft. It's 2 drafts from now. They have to pay him. There's a reason why they did that. Because they're not 100% sold on Sam Darnold. And that is an absolute fair assessment Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. In the same way that we're looking at this independent study clause in Kyler Murray's contract, if you had no issues with the way he was preparing for games, why did you have to put it in black and white in a contract where you know it's going to potentially get out? So, I think it will be Mayfield's opportunity, and man, him versus Cleveland week one is suddenly one of those piece of filet mignon week one games that didn't look that way when the schedule came out, that's for sure. We've got a new segment on the Rich Eisen Show just in time for the season. We've kind of had, we piloted something like this over the last several years.
It's a great episode.
But now it's time to unwrap it. A new segment called, let me get this verbiage right. A new segment called Today's Bill Belichick Press Conference Moment. Roll it.
Today's Bill Belichick Press Conference Moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
In your opinion, what is the headline going into the season?
I don't know. We're just taking it one day at a time.
I think this show's going to run forever.
Do we know who? I mean, it wasn't one of the regulars, right? It wasn't Mike or Tom or Ben Volen.
I don't know.
Like, it wasn't one of the guys who knows.
What do you
think
the headline is?
What? Come on! Going into
you're asking Bill Belichick.
Come on! What,
can you do my job for me?
Oh my Bill, gosh!
I mean, what?
Can you come up with a headline? Can you pick out one thing about the Patriots that you think is most important, even though your entire career, it's been obvious that it's never one thing. It's the collective. It's never one player. It's the team. It's the do your job. He could have responded, hey, do your job. You come up with the headlines. We'll play the games. You do your job.
Shouldn't he be
I'm not
like,
doing your job for you.
Your job. Your job is to make the headlines.
Mine too, your job.
There you go. That's one of our favorite drops. And then we told him that was going to be a drop, and then it led to one of the greatest drops in the history of this show.
I don't even know what an audio drop is.
There you go.
He's got his own.
There you go.
What's the headline for this season?
I mean,
I don't know.
I know what the headline is for the season.
Why?
Mac Jones, you're too. Jones, yeah. Come on, man. He spoke today. He looks like a much more veteran presence. He looks in better shape.
He's not a minivan anymore, more importantly.
Dude, what is he?
Mac and Chowder.
I think, you know what I think he is? I think he's like a hatchback. He's kind of like not the full-size SUV, but he's kind of like the
midsize?
Like a midsize SUV with a hatchback.
Four of the first six of the Patriots on the road.
Not a great start. Schedule's really
five
hard.
Five of the first seven on the road.
Yeah, schedule's tough.
Is it? Let's take a look.
Let's take a look. I think it's pretty tough.
At Miami, never easy for you.
That's a tough start.
Always tough.
That's a tough start.
I agree. At Pittsburgh, at Acrisure. Are you the first game in the history of Acrisure Stadium? Yes, you are. Pittsburgh starts on the road.
Hey.
We're opening Acrisure with a not-so-sure win for Pittsburgh, right?
Well, you think it's going to be Kenny Pickett, but it's definitely going to be Mitch Trubisky.
And then New England's after that, their home opener against Baltimore.
Tough game.
At Green Bay.
Tough
home
game
for Detroit at Cleveland. You'll be taking on Jacoby Brissett. Talk about little homecoming.
Maybe.
And then home for Chicago on a Monday night. Dude, there's going to be all sorts of evil dialed up for Justin Fields there. And then at the Jets, home for Indianapolis and a bye, after which the Jets are at home at Minnesota. That's a nice little indoor game for you in week 12 for Thanksgiving night.
End of the schedule stuff. I mean,
You got Buffalo. Weeks. You got your Buffalo you twice. Your visit to Arizona and Vegas back to back. I bet you'll stay out here in the Pacific time zone. That's what they'll do. Cincinnati, Miami, and then at Buffalo.
10-11 wins.
Dude, you can make the playoffs again this year.
Yep. I think so. I would be shocked.
I think so too.
I would be surprised if the Pats didn't make it, to be honest.
Well, that would be the headline of the season if they didn't make it.
Well,
we're looking for the headline of the season.
Of the season.
And then just left Belichick to just drop. You know what? He just dropped a cliche. We'll just take it one game at a time. That's all I'm going to give you. You want it? What do you want? You want a headline? You want your story? You want your quote? You want your soundbite? Here's what I'll give you: nothing, and then the most cliched one game at a time answer.
It's the second day of training camp. Like, what the guy wants the whole season. Exactly.
What's headline. The headline coming in? What's your headline, Bill?
Wow.
Here's the headline. Here's the headline. I'm not giving out coordinator jobs. How about that?
I want the Lions to keep
paying. The Lions to keep paying my guy, and I don't want to have to put Patricia on the phone for a mandated coordinator interview every single week if I don't have to, and he doesn't want it, so we're all good. Guess what he is? He's a special assistant. That's your headline. Put that in your headline and smoke it.
Special. Oh, a crossover. Someone
God,
just tweeted
I love
me.
That, I want, man.
Mac Jones is now a crossover, not a minivan.
I miss hanging with that man like I did in NFL films. It was a treasure. A treasure. But and now, thanks to him, we've got a new segment. I think it's a great pilot.
I'm very excited. Give me a great season. That's the headline.
I think it's coming back tomorrow, just like this show. We'll set up Thursday in a sec.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.